Picture a Friday afternoon in late October. The airplane is fueled. Your bag is in the baggage compartment. You told your family you'd be home by dark, and there's a low ceiling sitting between you and the airport you call home. What you do in the next 10 minutes on the ground is going to matter more than anything you do in the air. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern, the show where we try to send you back to the airport a little sharper than you left it. Today we are talking about the single most dangerous system in any airplane, and it isn't the engine. It's the pilot. Specifically, it's the way a pilot thinks when the pressure is on. We're going to walk through the five hazardous attitudes, the antidotes the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, actually wants you to memorize, and we're going to hang the whole thing on one flight. A real kind of flight. The kind you and I have both flown. Before we get into it, a quick word about the folks who help keep this show on the air. Shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter. And let me tell you, in a hobby that is hard and expensive, marking the wins matters more than people admit. aviationsoul.com. All right, let's walk through this together. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. When people talk about aviation accidents, they picture a mechanical failure, a part breaks, the pilot is a helpless passenger, tragedy strikes. But that is not the story the accident data tells. Year after year, the National Transportation Safety Board finds that the largest single cause of fatal general aviation accidents is not the machine. It's a decision, a chain of small, reasonable-sounding decisions that add up to a place no pilot ever meant to be. And the FAA studied this. Out of that study came a chunk of the risk management handbook that every private pilot applicant is now responsible for. Five attitudes. The FAA calls them the five hazardous attitudes because each one is a specific way that a normal, intelligent, well-meaning pilot talks themselves into a bad choice. Here's the important part. These are not personality flaws. You're not a bad person if you feel these. Every single one of us has all five of them living somewhere in the back of our skull. The skill, and this is a skill you can practice, is catching the thought as it happens, naming it and answering it with a specific antidote. Let me introduce all five, and then we'll fly our Friday afternoon flight through every one of them. The first hazardous attitude is anti-authority. This is the voice that says, "Don't tell me what to do. The rules are for other people. The regulation is overly cautious. The instructor is being a nag." Now, questioning a rule is fine, but the anti-authority pilot doesn't question the rule, they dismiss it. The FAA's antidote is a short sentence you say to yourself, "Follow the rules, they are usually right." The second is impulsivity. This is the voice that says, do something quickly. When something goes wrong, the impulsive pilot feels an itch to act right now, to grab the first option that presents itself before thinking it through. The antidote is, not so fast, think first. The third is invulnerability. This is the quiet one, and it's the one that gets a lot of good pilots. It's the voice that says, it won't happen to me. Accidents happen to other people, careless people, who aren't as careful as I am. The antidote is blunt. It could happen to me. The fourth is macho. And I want to be clear, this is not a male thing. The research shows women feel it too. This is the voice that says, I can do it. It's the pilot proving something. Taking a risk to show off skill, to not look weak, to not be the one who turned around. The antidote is, taking chances is foolish. And the fifth is resignation. This is the saddest one. It's the voice that says, what's the use? Things are out of my hands. I'm just along for the ride now. Whatever happens, happens. The resigned pilot stops flying the airplane and starts spectating their own emergency. The antidote is, I'm not helpless. I can make a difference. Follow the rules. Think first. It could happen to me. Taking chances is foolish. I'm not helpless. Five attitudes. Five antidotes. Now let's fly, back to our Friday afternoon. You're a private pilot with, let's say, 180 hours. Good pilot. Careful pilot. You flew a Cessna 172 out to see family 2 days ago. The weather was gorgeous, and now it's time to go home. The forecast this morning looked fine, but a system moved in faster than anyone called, and now you're standing on the ramp looking at a sky that has gone the color of an old nickel. You pull up the weather. Your destination, 300 miles away, is reporting a ceiling of 800 feet and dropping with mist. You, are a visual flight rules pilot. You are not instrument rated. 800 feet and mist is not your world. Now watch what happens inside your head. This is the whole ballgame. The first thought arrives and it sounds like this. 800-foot ceilings, come on. The regulation says I need 1,000 feet and 3 miles of visibility in this airspace, but that's just a number some bureaucrat picked. I can fly under 800 feet just fine. I've done it. Stop. Name it. That's anti-authority, that's don't tell me what to do. And here's the antidote you say out loud in the cockpit. And I mean out loud because saying it out loud breaks the spell. Follow the rules, they are usually right. That 1,003 minimum isn't an insult to your skill. It's a fence somebody built at the edge of a cliff after watching people walk off it. The rule is your friend, but the pressure doesn't quit. Here comes the second thought. You know what, I'll just launch and figure it out in the air. Get up there. Take a look, see how it is. Let's just go. Name it. That's impulsivity. Do something. Do it now. And notice how reasonable it feels. It feels like decisiveness. It feels like being a pilot. But the antidote is, not so fast, think first, because I'll figure it out in the air is how VFR pilots end up in cloud. The time to figure it out is on the ground, where the stall speed is zero and the fuel burn is nothing, and you can change your mind for free. Let's actually think first, the way the FAA wants us to. There's a model in the risk management handbook called the 3 P's. Perceive, process, perform. Perceive the hazard. Process how bad it is, perform, meaning act on it. So, let's do it honestly. Perceive. The hazard is low ceilings and reducing visibility along a 300-mile route. At dusk, flown by a pilot with no instrument rating. Process. What's the worst realistic outcome? Continued flight into instrument conditions, and I need to tell you the number here, because it's one of the most sobering numbers in all of aviation. The old studies on VFR pilots who blundered into instrument weather found that the average time from entering the cloud to loss of control was measured in seconds, not minutes. A little over 3 minutes in the classic study, and plenty of pilots didn't get that long. This is not a maybe, this is a very short fuse. Perform, given all that, the action that 3Ps is screaming at you is to not go to get a motel room. To be late. And that's where the flight should end. In a lobby, checking in, calling home to say you'll be back tomorrow. That's the whole segment, honestly. If you take one thing today, it's that the safest, most professional, most genuinely skilled thing a pilot can do is sometimes to walk away from the airplane. But let's keep going, because the attitudes aren't done with you yet. And this is where it gets dangerous, because the last three are the ones that fly good pilots into terrain. The third thought comes in soft and confident. Look, those accidents you read about, those are guys who didn't know what they were doing. Low-time pilots? Careless pilots, I've got 180 hours. I know this route. That won't happen to me. Name it. That is invulnerability, and it is deadly precisely because it feels like earned confidence. Here's the truth that antidote is built on. The pilots in those NTSB reports were not fools. A huge number of them were experienced. Some were instrument rated, some were flying for a living. The weather does not check your logbook before it closes in. So you say it, and you make yourself mean it. It could happen to me, not the other guy, me tonight. Then the fourth thought, and this one has teeth, because it wraps itself in your identity as a pilot. You know what? I can do this. I've got some instrument time from training. I can hold heading and altitude, turning around and getting a hotel. That's what a nervous student does. I'm better than that. That's macho. I can do it. And I want to slow way down here, because this is the one I felt myself on a ramp with people waiting for me. The macho attitude tells you that continuing is the brave choice and diverting is the weak one. It has it exactly backwards. The antidote is, taking chances is foolish. There is nothing brave about betting your life to save an evening. The bravest thing in aviation is almost always the boring thing. It's the turn back to good weather. It's the phone call that starts with, hey, I'm going to be a day late. The examiner is looking for exactly this, by the way, on your check ride. When they give you a scenario like this one, and they will, they are not testing whether you can shoot an approach. They are testing whether you'll say the words, I'm not going. Aeronautical decision-making is baked right into the airman certification standards. The examiner wants to see you identify the hazard, name the attitude, apply the risk management model, and make the conservative call, and explain why. If you launch into that scenario in the sim or in the discussion, you have shown them the one thing they most needed to see, and it isn't good news. Now suppose, and this is the nightmare, suppose all four of those thoughts win. You launch, 20 minutes out, the ground disappears, You're in the mist. The horizon is gone. The airplane starts one of those slow, sneaky spirals that you can't feel in your body, and the airspeed is creeping up, and your inner ear is lying to you and telling you you're straight and level when you're not. And the fifth thought arrives. The last one. It's quiet, and it's the worst of all. This is it. It's out of my hands now. Whatever happens, happens. That is resignation. What's the use? And I need you to promise me something. If you're ever in that seat, you fight that thought with everything you have because it is a lie. The antidote is, I'm not helpless. I can make a difference. You still have an airplane. You still have controls. You have that instrument scan you practiced under the hood. Wings level on the attitude indicator. Power back to a known setting. A gentle standard rate. Turn back toward the clearing you came from. You call somebody, you say the word unable, you declare, you ask for help. Air traffic control has talked more than one VFR pilot out of a cloud and back into daylight. You are not a passenger. You are the pilot in command until the airplane stops moving. But here's the thing I most want you to hear. Every one of those five doors was open on the ground. Every single one. The anti-authority thought, the impulsive thought, the invulnerable thought, the macho thought. They all showed up while you were standing safely on the ramp with the engine off. That's the gift. The hazardous attitudes almost always announce themselves before you ever release the brakes. If you learn their names, you can hear them coming.
So here's your practical takeaway, the thing you can actually use on your next flight. Make yourself a habit. When you're making a go or no-go call and you feel that little push to go, that little heat in your chest, stop and ask, which of the five is talking to me right now? Just name it. Oh, that's macho. That's me not wanting to look weak in front of my brother-in-law. The naming is 90% of the cure because a hazardous attitude only works in the dark. The second you shine a light on it and call it by its name, it loses most of its grip, and build yourself a set of personal minimums when the pressure is off, sitting at your kitchen table, and write them down. Ceilings you won't fly below, winds you won't fight. A hard time you'll be wheels up by or you scrub for the night. Because the version of you at the kitchen table is wise and calm and has nothing to prove. The version of you on the ramp Friday afternoon with family waiting is not the one who should be setting the limits. Let the calm version protect the pressured one. Learning to fly is hard, and it is expensive, and I know that a motel room and a lost day of work feels like a real cost, because it is. I'm not going to stand here and pretend the pressure isn't real. It is, but the airplane will still be there in the morning, and so will the good weather. And so, most importantly, will you? The material today comes straight out of the FAA's Risk Management Handbook and the Aeronautical Decision-Making Standards written into the Airman Certification Standards. Go read the Hazardous Attitudes section yourself. It's a few pages and it might be the most valuable few pages in the whole book. There's more, including links, over at radiohanger.com. Five thoughts, five antidotes. Learn their names before you need them. I'm Pattern. Fly the calm version of yourself. I'll see you back in the pattern.